Hello and welcome to Max Trucking Great Podcast. It's Matt Ireland hosting once again, and today got special guest Lester Stevenson on with me. Lester, how are you?
I'm all right, thank you, Matt. How are you?
Good. Yeah, I'm all right, mate. I'm all right. Been out and about today, so being a Sunday, so it's just nice to have a day off. I'm ready to go back to work tomorrow. So, how on earth did you end up as a truck driver, Lester? What brought you into it? Was it family connection, or just found an interest in when you were young, or how did it come about?
Well, in a nutshell, I was born Lester Stevenson. I was adopted when I was 7 into the O'Brien family, a white family. And my adopted father, Terry O'Brien, was a mechanic turned trucker.
Right, okay.
And I used to go everywhere with him as a kid. And I absolutely fell in love with it.
Yeah.
The more I loved it, the more he hated it. The more he said, don't become a trucker.
Yeah.
Years gone by. Because my birthday is in July,
yeah,
I left school in the May. At 15, couldn't get a job, searched around, eventually managed to get a job in a shoe warehouse.
Okay.
Went into the shoe warehouse, fell in love immediately with the loading side of the trucks.
Yeah.
So any opportunity I got, I used to go out with the truck drivers.
Right.
Come my 16th, 17th birthday, I passed my car test.
Yeah.
Hoping that they'd let me go out in the transit van.
Yeah.
Never happened. 18th birthday came, a parcel carrier was in the back doing the delivery, and I just happened to mention to him, what would it take for me to get a job on a company called Crowfoot's Carriers?
Yes.
He said, you don't want to come here, mate. You want to try a bigger company called Atlas Express.
Right.
I applied to them at 18.
Yeah.
And managed to get a job driving a 7.5-ton Bedford TK.
Right.
I was over the moon.
I bet you were.
Just as a quick instant, I was driving down the main Melton Road into Leicester.
Mm-hmm.
I overtook a petrol tanker who flashed me in, and that was my first interaction of being flashed in my life. I was in my element.
Yes, absolutely. Was it was it all local work? Was it distance?
It was parcel carrying. So
right.
my run then, as a novice, I started off doing around Loughborough.
Yep.
Then I got a little bit more experienced, 18, 19 years old. They sent me on my own run around Derbyshire. Tubers used to go. Then they introduced a policy that there was going to have no more non-HGV drivers.
Right.
I was only 19.
Oh, no.
I thought, they're going to let me go.
Yeah.
Went and seen the manager. He said, no, you're the last non-HGV driver we'll have. As soon as you reach your age, we'll put you through your class one. Your class
brilliant.
Three.
Yeah, brilliant.
Years went by. I then passed my class three. As my birthday was in July, I passed my class three in the... Yeah, Danny was born in the October. So his birthday was October the 6th. I took my test on October the 6th and failed.
Right.
Retook my test on the 28th and passed.
Excellent.
And then the following July, they put me through my class one.
Right.
And never looked back since.
Yeah. Did you stick with Atlas for a while?
I stayed with Atlas on the parcels.
Yeah.
And then a good friend of mine was working for a dodgy character. Nice bloke. Lovely bloke. But as they were back then, you know.
Yes.
Rob said to me, why don't you go and work for him? I applied for a job with this chap.
Yeah.
No names, no patron.
Yep.
He hadn't got any vacancies.
Right.
He put me on to his mate called Lol Hopkins.
Right.
Which was a transport company. Immaculate looking vehicles called New Street Haulage. You're from Earl Shilton.
Right.
Leicestershire.
Yeah.
I applied to Lol, got the job.
Yeah.
My dad went spare. Of all the cowboys, don't go and work for him. But the boy was, honestly, Matt, it was the opening to a bat load of experience.
Yes.
I admit he ripped me off for every penny I earned, but the experience was tenfold.
Yeah.
I drove Aki Defender. I drove Leyland Bison. I drove the Scania 111.
Yeah.
A Foden S80, 8-legger with a Gardner 180, 12-speed. But all this experience at this young age, and I was lapping it.
Yeah.
I would have paid him to do it. But so, I've got a young family. I've married by then. I've got a son. I've got a daughter on the way. And we just couldn't earn the money.
Yeah, fair enough. So was that still local work, or was it a bit more?
No, that was a bit more distance.
Yeah.
Was a bit more distance. That was just general... Mainly England, no Scotch, might be a little bit of Wales, but mainly England.
Yeah.
Until he put me on a contract. Well, it wasn't it was all verbal contracts there. There wasn't many written contracts. And I was pulling trailers for a company called TOE out of New Haven.
Yes.
Lowell's idea of a day's work. started at Newhaven. Doesn't matter where you were in the country, it started at Newhaven.
Yes.
So I'd picked the unit and trailer up from Elshilton, drove down to Newhaven, dropped, swapped. I'd got delivery Milton Keynes, delivery workshop, reload Carlisle. That was all done in a day.
Flipping heck. Yeah.
I know. I cringe now when I think back. But you did it.
Yeah, oh,
this
yeah.
Was all.
Yeah, I was just as keen when I passed my tests.
I couldn't do enough hours.
Yes.
And this was all in a SEDAC with a 250 Cummins, even nine-speed full of gearbox, which used to be reverse art about face in the early models.
Right, yeah.
And I was my element. But it was just absolutely knackering me. Even at that young age, it was just too many hours.
Were you actually doing nights out, or were you just getting back the yard?
Oh, crikey, yeah. No. Just keep it going, Lowell said. Keep it going.
Yeah.
The more you do, the more I'll pay you.
Fair enough.
And you didn't.
Yes.
I stuck it out for 6 months. The marriage was looking a bit shady because I was spending too much time away from home.
Yeah.
And went back to Atlas Express.
Right.
It's Fair never enough. The same going back.
No, it's not, sadly.
No. All the jokes, all the Mickey Taylor, no, you'd be back. No. And it just didn't sit well with a young, well, I don't know, headstrong, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
So I then went to work for a chap called Roger Kinch.
Right.
Kinch's Haulage, quite synonymous. There was G.K. Kinch, Gilbert Kinch, that had some real quality class coaches that used to coach for Leicester City.
Right, okay.
And that was the youngest son.
Yeah.
And Roger was the eldest son of Ken Kinch. So Ken and his son, Kevin, ran the tipper side. Mm-hmm. Roger ran the general haulage side. Gilbert ran the coaches.
Right.
Applied to Roger for a job. Yeah, no worries. Come on, he said. 16, 17 Merc, which I've hated to this day. Day cab, rigid.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I went all over England in that. All over GB, Scotland, everywhere.
Yeah.
Sleeping across the seats.
Yeah.
Oh. Whilst I was doing that, a good friend of mine that used to work for Alex Express, Derek Smith, became transport manager for TNT, which was they had a hub in Thurmaston in Leicester.
Yes.
And he said to me, come and do a bit of driving for me.
Mm-hmm.
So off I went, and I did a bit of moonlighting.
Right.
On the weekend, as you could back then, driving a SEDAC, Arctic, fell in love with it.
Yeah.
Back to Roger. Derek left TNT, did a bit of moonlighting for another transport company called Murphy Brothers.
Right.
Big bulk tipper firm.
Yeah.
Again, from Thurmaston. During... Back then, it used to be called Leicester July Fortnight. The first 2 weeks of every year in July, Leicester closed down because it was big for hosiery and shoes.
Yeah.
So then, so off I went. Well, done a bit of driving for Bedford TM, Arctic, 250 Cummins. Loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went on to an ERFB series.
Mm-hmm.
Fell in love with it again.
Yeah.
Meantime, Roger Kinch got wind of this. Spoke to my then wife. And said, is he coming back? She goes, I think so. Why? Well, what's he doing? She said, he's driving Arctics for Murphy Brothers. Arctics? Right. He is coming back. She goes, yeah, I think so. Within 2 weeks of coming back, Roger had gone out and bought his first Arctic, and I was the driver.
Right.
Unfortunately, it was a Mercedes. 1625.
Yeah.
Not the full sleeper.
Yeah, well, the half sleeper.
That's the one.
Fold down bunk.
I hated it.
Yeah.
Honestly, the steering wheel was massive.
Yes.
But I was so pleased because it was mine. It was my Arctic unit.
Yeah.
And so that was the beginning of driving for Roger Kinch. Again, that was just UK general orders, roping and sheeting, which I fell in love with.
Yeah.
And I did that for many years.
So there's just no. No job too big or small. You just didn't care. You were just happy just doing it.
I've had this conversation with Glenn Eskey, my friend, and he's a lot younger than me, but we've sort of led a similar path.
Yes.
And the firms we worked for back then, we laugh about because they were just small haulage companies that you've done it yourself, Matt. You know, you work all hours, God sends the peanuts, but it's just a way of life. And and this is what you did.
Yes.
The object of the exercise was out with the outgoing load, tip, round to the docks, pick a return load up. You must get that off because we need you back at the customer for the next day's outgoing load. And that's the way it went. And you didn't
definitely.
think nothing of it.
No.
That's what. And of course, rope initiating, the
Yeah.
art taut line, anybody who got a taut line was a snob.
Yeah. Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely.
Because everything went on a flatbed. Your
Yeah.
coke, your food, all went on flatbeds.
Yes. Yeah.
Then, and I've wrote this down because this bit's important.
Yeah.
A few years in, Roger decided to get rid of the miss. Well, not he didn't get rid of it, but he went out and bought an ERF. The main stay of his dad's business was the ERFs and Volvos.
Right.
And Roger went out and bought a brand new ERF C series.
Yeah.
I loved ERFs.
Yeah.
So when he gave me this brand new ERF C series, I was in my C
Yeah.
registration.
Yeah.
Oh, it's proper made up.
So 86, would that be roughly, I
So
think?
it was C760 SUT, and I think it was 85.
Right. Yeah.
So I've got this brand new ER, and I absolutely fell in love with it. 6 months in, 7 months in, Roger then goes and buys a D-Reg,
Right.
a brand new Volvo F10.
Yeah.
Said, I want you to drive it. Oh, so I reluctantly gave the ERF up and went
Yeah.
on the Volvo.
Yeah.
6 months later, no, 4 months later, he buys a brand new FL10.
Right.
So I came off the F10 and went on to the FL10.
Yeah.
And I don't even know why I left the ERF. I'm looking at the ERF out the corner of my eye thinking I should have stayed on it. But of
Yes.
course, I love Volvos too. Fell in love
Yes.
with Volvos.
Yeah. And it, I mean, the
This is.
FL10 is a lovely truck to drive, but they're just not designed for all week out, are they?
Well, people said that.
But
But you see, everybody
people
had
did
them.
it.
Taylor
But people,
Barnard,
yeah. Derek
all your big
Cooper's,
boys. Yeah. And these drivers were away all week. And it's right, you did right. I mean, realistically speaking, there wasn't a lot of space in there, but I'm not the tallest of blokes, and it suited me fine. And of course, it was a little FL10 with the same engine as the big RF10. They pulled like a train. Anyway, meantime, Roger then got in touch with some foreign companies, and he started doing a bit of traction. Now, my mate that had jumped on the F10 had decided then. Roger decided, because it was long wheelbase, that Graham was then going to start doing a bit of European work. So, of course, we're all eager to do a bit. Just at that time, Roger had just bought his first Foden. No, that's right. Yeah, Rob had the first Foden. It was an E-Reg with a 290, 320 Cummins in. And then Roger bought his second Foden, which he'd got a 350 Cat in, which I had. And he said to me, do you want to do some European? Yeah, I'd love to. The trouble is, the Foden was a short wheelbase and we couldn't get it under the trailer. So I had to take my friend's MAN, Roger's truck, D9595 SAM, long wheelbase 19361 MAN. And that was my first venture abroad with a truck.
Where'd you
And
go?
that was Breda.
Breda,
Yeah, that was it. That's all the job was to go down to Breda, do a trailer swap with a Dutchman. Come back to the UK. This was for a company called Seagull Ferries. Seagull. So I'm in, of course, dressed up as you do back then, jeans, white trainers, because that was t-shirt, all kitted out. Didn't have this. Didn't have any clogs on, and never had a wallet on a chain.
One on
But we.
the
So off I went in with the lads on the boat. Where are you going? Oh, I'm going to a place called Breda. Oh, puddle jumping, which meant nothing to me. It meant at the time it meant nothing.
So did you go
Oh,
Dover Calais?
Dover Calais, in with the big boys, in with the big boys. Yeah, off the boat, down the corridor, as I was told back then, because I didn't know it was called the corridor, but that's what it was. It's through Antwerp, down to the border, trailer swap, managed to get back to Calais, where you could stop safely back then. And caught the boat the next day. That was my first trip.
And you loved it, no doubt.
I did, but then Mark got a little bit like, because he hadn't got his passport at the time, but he wanted his truck back. So that was the first and the end of my European stints for a while. And then Roger, then I think I did a couple of short Germans, and then he asked me if I was interested in doing a Madrid. Oh, yeah. Loved it. So off I went again, only this time in my Foden, down to Barcelona, to in Zona Franca,
Zona
cleared the
Franca.
in Zona Franca, across to Now then, what's the airport to Madrid? I
Ah,
can't remember, but
no,
that's where
I
I
can't.
collected from. I
Yeah.
can't remember it, but there was a lot of groupage companies around there,
Yes.
and I collected from there and came back up the other side through Large
Up.
Aquarium. No, not Large Aquarium. I'm
Irun.
Iran. That's right. So we went down through Large Aquarium,
Down,
back up through Iran.
up
That's
for a
right.
run. Yeah.
And that was my first Spanish trip in the Foden. And she held well. She held
Yeah.
well. She did do well.
What kind of,
Yeah,
what
it was
time of
good.
year was that done? Can you remember?
So let me have a look at this piece of post. So that would have been around the end of 88, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Because towards the end of 88, Roger had kept pounding on to me about becoming an owner driver.
Right,
Would I
okay.
be interested?
Yeah.
And at the time, I was thinking about it, and I was looking at the commercial motor.
Yeah.
And as much as I loved my ERFs,
Yeah.
the bargain of the day seemed to be a DAF 2800.
Yeah.
They were coming up at the right price. They got
Yeah.
the right wheelbase. So I mentioned this to Roger. No, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. But buy the ERF off me. I
Right,
thought,
okay.
you fell in love with it. Buy the ERF. Go on, I'll do your deal on it.
Yeah.
Well, go on then. So we'd literally just moved into his own house first time. We got a little bit on the mortgage, and I put deposit down, which is this is my downfall. I put the deposit down on a truck I was paying finance for. So, and I borrowed the money to put the deposit down. So there's two debts before you even start. That was the beginning. I started for Roger in the, let's look at this. Yeah, that would be about January 89. There I was, only driver. I'd rubbed all his name out. It looked scruffy. It looked an eyesore to look at. But off I went doing UK general orders for Roger. But his work started to dry up because at that time, January, February, March, it's very quiet in the UK. And our main source of work was Stanton Pipes of Staveley, Nottingham. And it just went quiet. And Roger said, look, he said, work's dropped right off. But I've sorted you out a trip across the water. I said, but Roger, I've only got the UK operator's license. I've not got an international. Are you studying? I said, well, I'm doing an open study course for the international, but I've not got it yet. Well, run on mine. Really? Yeah. So you've got no writing on the trucks. To all intents and purposes, it's still a Kinch haulage. So run on mine. I can try to carry off for rent. And this was for a firm. I don't know whether you'd ever heard of it. I've tried to Google it since, but I've never found them. It was for a company called Capini International from March.
No, I that doesn't ring a bell for me, but perhaps
No.
somebody who listens might remember them.
Well,
You never
off
know.
I went, bobtail from Leicester to Industrial Estate in March. Picked up this tilt, as naive as the grass comes. All I was told was, you're going down to Italy, somewhere near Bologna. I don't know why I didn't look. I cuss myself now why I didn't look at the map. I don't, but I'd looked at Bologna. I thought, off we go. Off we went. Graham was going out as well at the same time. So me and Graham, off we set, gets down there. Over the water, makes his way down towards the Mont Blanc, which again, not something I did in later life. But off we went through the Blanc, stopped at the top there, stopped at Cluses on the way in, stopped at Aosta on the way out. We gets down towards Milan. Graham's going left, he's going all the way across to Verona. I'm on my map, right, Bologna. I'm heading down towards Bologna. I've stopped and I've met up with a chap, funnily enough, from Chesterfield. Who's got a Volvo F12 Globetrotter on the CB? Where are you going, lad? I said, at Bologna. What's the address? Such and such, such and such, such and such, such and such, Prato. Prato? Yeah. Where are you going? Bologna. No, you're not. I said, yeah, it is. He said, I'm telling you now, Prato is nowhere near Bologna. You've got to pass Prato. You've got to pass Bologna. I said, I don't know what you. He said, I'm going where you're going. Give me the address. Give me the address. Where are you clearing customs? They said, just outside a place called, it's got Firenze here. That's Florence. Right. What wagon you got? Said ERF. Right. Okay. Big Cummins in it. I'm thinking, I don't want to tell him this. I said, not really. Where are you? I said, I've told him. He said, oh, I think I can see the distance. He said, see me coming up. I said, well, what have you got? F12 Globe. I'm thinking, this bloke's going to leave me standing. You've got a 385 F. I said, you don't want to run with me, mate. I said, listen, lad, he says, I'll keep in front. We just keep in touch on the CB. Every time I lose you, I pull in the services or a late, but I let you catch up. But stick with me. It was a trip of a lifetime.
Yeah.
Sailing past Bologna. I'm looking in the mirror thinking, I don't believe it. It's still going down. And you know yourself, Matt. The road veers, and then you start climbing.
Yeah.
As you go in towards it, and it's a climb. It makes the Frasier's climb look minute.
Yeah.
Poor Lily RF. She was getting warm. I'm thinking she's going to boil up. He says, keep it going, lad. Keep it going. Don't stop. It's your boil. Just keep it going. The fan kicked in and brought the temperature down. But again, she's climbing.
Mm-hmm.
Over the top it goes, and it starts dropping down. Sigh relief.
Yeah.
He says, now then, lad. I take it you've never been before. No, I've not. Do you want to go the scenic route, or do you want to go around the motorway?
Yeah.
I said, we'll go the scenic route. I didn't know what he meant.
Yeah.
So we came off at Firenze Nord.
Yeah.
Down through Florence. He says, look to your right now. There was I said, well, some good-looking girls here. He said, yeah. So see them cracking-looking girls. He said, now, I'll tell you something now. I said, I bet you there's not one of those a girl. I said, you're joking. And then, you can never talk. I thought, so it's beautiful-looking women in Italy. And then, that was my experience. Across the Prato, cleared customs, tip the next day.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was the first trip in. Reload back was groupage.
Yeah, what, from back up in Milan, or was it from round?
It was from, I was picking up tiles on the way back. So I picked up from Reggio Emilia. Reggio Emilia, and also there was
Modena.
Somewhere else. I think it was, Modena was first, and then Reggio Emilia, and then cleared customs at, it was Central Milan where you cleared customs.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then obviously came back out.
Yeah.
I came back out through the Blanc.
Yeah.
And as I wrote it down now, because I remember this well, once I got the other side of the Blanc, I'm really low on diesel.
Yeah.
So I'm on the CB chatting to some drivers, and one of them's S&K from Wales.
Yes.
And I'm just chatting. He said, what's the problem, mate? I said, I'm low on diesel, mate. So what car do you got? I said, DKV. Gaffer's DKV. Well, I'm the gaffer, but obviously my kitchen's DKV. Well, right, he says, I don't think the first two garages tech DKV. You'll met the third one, though. I said, where's that? He said, other side of Nantes. Just keep going, lad. Keep going.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to keep going. The truck wanted to keep going, but it don't run anywhere without diesel.
No.
I ran out of diesel.
Oh, no.
I can't believe I ran out of diesel. I'm on the hard shoulder. Credit where credit's due. Back then, as it happened, you break down, every Brit that's come by stops and helps.
Stop, yes, yeah.
But everyone that helps isn't a mechanic. And everyone that helps, the intentions are honourable, but not necessarily the best thing.
Yeah.
So we're trying to work out how we can get diesel to the truck, and this lad's chaps keeps turning her over because we managed to get some diesel in it.
Mm-hmm.
But all he was doing was flattening the battery.
Yeah.
Meantime, the motorway, French motorway police, well they're not the police, are they?
They're
just like this. They came up, they said, no.
Yeah.
We will get you started. We'll come out with jump leads. We'll tow you to the nearest garage.
Yes.
It cost me a fortune.
I bet. Yeah, because that's the law in France, isn't it? If people don't know, if you break down on the motorway, you're not allowed or not supposed to try and sort it yourself. And they come along, tow you off, and then you pay a lot of money. So I know a mate of mine had a blowout, and I just said, we'll just get off the next payage, get through that payage, and then we'll deal with it. Just driving a hard shoulder at flat. Don't stop here, for God's sake.
Really, it really was an eye opener.
Yeah, I bet.
So suffice to say, one chap stuck with me. He got a six. It was the old V10 Merc before the. So it wasn't the 1625 or the 1628.
Yeah,
it was but it was an old V10 one.
Yeah,
and gladly my truck could keep up with him and even pass him.
Yeah,
which was very few and far between, because the only other truck that I could do that to was the G290 Renault.
Yes.
Other than that, the only way I could stay in front was the foot. Well, Cummins is fast, but the L290 wasn't very powerful, but it was fast.
Yeah.
Anyway, there we were. Credit where credit's due. This chap stuck with me all the way back. We came over, and off he went his merry way. He was subbing for A1 Transport, I think it was back then.
From Leeds.
From Leeds, yeah. But he originally came from, he came from Newcastle way. And a good few, many of my friends, somebody called Taffy Davis. Now, if you ask around, somebody will, that name will be synonymous with quite a few drivers. He originally worked for a chap called Taffy Davis, who lived up northwest somewhere, northeast, sorry. But he'd left him and gone to work, set up on his own, and he was pulling for A1 Transport. And that was the beginning and end of my first trip.
And it didn't put you off then,
No.
breaking down all that, you just loved it.
So after Roger got the DKV bill and took, well, not only what I earned, but I ended up owing him. So I made no profit on that trip whatsoever. I spent my last few pennies and had the truck sprayed up and my name put on it. And that was it. Carried on back on UK general haulage. Roger said, "I'm sorry, but my work's dried up. I'm gonna have to find you some other work." And I started pulling for a company called GR Warehousing from Ipswich.
I know GMA from Ipswich, but not
Well,
GR.
well, I think they've ceased trade then, but
Right,
we call it,
okay.
yeah, GR Warehousing from Ipswich. I was pulling for them, and they put me into a company at the time called Mitchell Fox from Worsley, Manchester. And I was making a bomb. I was really doing well. I mean, I used to chase on. I'm sure lots of drivers did. I'm no different to anybody else. But as an
most of us
owner
did.
driver,
Yeah, you
that's
had
right.
to. Yeah.
The policy was, if the wheels ain't turning, the
You
wagon
ain't
ain't earning.
earning, simple as that.
So there was no such thing as this. Like a lot of company men, "Oh, I'm weekending here. But listen, if I'm loaded, I ain't weekending anywhere. This wagon's going." And that's what I used to do down, and I used to regularly go out down to just the other side of Pescara, to Tip Pescara, reload Pescara for the same company, back again, and that in a week, down, back, down. Eventually, the chap that owned Mitchell Fox said to me, "Why are you doing this through GR Warehousing? Why don't you come on direct?" I thought, that's a good idea. So I said to GR Warehousing, "I'm finishing with you." "Oh, really? What are you going to do?" I said, "I found a little bit of work for myself." "Okay." Finished with GR Warehousing. Obviously, they soon cottoned on what I was doing. I'm on for Mitchell Fox. Mitchell Fox is doing great, but Mitchell Fox is a company within a group of companies. And the mother company was struggling. So it was drawing all its financial resources from the companies that were making money. The chap that ran the company said to me, "We're going under."
Oh,
He
God.
said, "Don't invoice me for the next two trips. I'll pay you in running money." That's what I did. Eventually, they stopped as Mitchell Fox, carried on as M&F, didn't work, ceased trading. But I managed to walk away with little debt, quite a bit of and made a bob or two. I foolishly then went back to GL Warehouse.
They happily have you back, or is it a bit?
Oh yeah, but I didn't see the wood for the trees. So I went back on for GR Warehousing, and cost me a lot of money. Cost me a hell of a lot of money. Yeah, they gave me a diesel card. Off I went doing the trips, and then they changed the payment terms from 30 days to 90 days. And I said, I can't survive. They said, "Well, you've got a diesel card." I said, "But funnily enough, the bank manager won't take the diesel card to pay the mortgage." So I struggled on for a couple of months, parked the truck up, went back as a company man driving for Roger Kinch while I was trying to still get my money from the GR Warehousing. Got a little bit from them, left Roger, got my truck back, and then started pulling for a firm called LKW Walters.
Well-known big Austrian company.
That's right, that's right. From Kufstein. So the idea was, because my ERF was a short wheelbase, I was struggling then to find trailers to match. But I'd got a contract, or a written verbal contract, sorry, with TIP, which was separate then. There was TIP and there was Renk, which was TIP ended up owning them both. But I ended up with, I think it was Renk, Nottingham. And whatever LKW wanted, I got. If they wanted a taut line, I got a taut line. If they wanted a tilt, I got a tilt. If they wanted a flat. But of course, every time I changed trailer, I got an invoice for it. Off I went, doing my bit for LKW Walters. And I enjoyed it, thoroughly enjoyed it. Got on great with the lads. The rates weren't the best, but they were constant payers.
Yeah,
Money was always there.
I've heard from other people who've worked for Walters over the years. They've always said, like, although their money wasn't the best, you knew you were getting it. The work was pretty steady and easy, and so it's kind of, you take the rough the smooth a little bit, sort of thing.
Yes, yeah. I mean, like I say, their outgoing base was appalling, but he was taking steel out. I mean, from Sheffield area, one instant I'd got a load of steel on, run out down my then given route. Then once I got the taste of things, I always used to go Frasers, so literally ran the Nationals. So you're down to Cali down to Reims Nationals, all the way down through St. Dizier, all the way down to Chaumont, jumped back on the motorway just for a couple of junctions, came off at Chalon Nord, all the way down National Back Roads, ended up in a place called Jayat. A lot of drivers will relate to that. That was your eating hole. This was all done from Leicester to Jayat. Bite to eat, up next morning, Jayat, off we went, up and over the Frasers, down the Frasers, and I got to the steelworks, and I was clearing in Turin, Corso Alemano, if I remember right. Down to Corso Alemano, cleared customs, came back to the customer, pulled on site. I got a tilt, and I hate tilts. To this day, I hate tilts. Give me a flatbed any day.
A lot of people who I think have got rose tinted glasses when they talk about tilt trailers, because they were a pain in the backside, weren't they? They were hard work.
They were so universal.
They
Because
were.
they were a flatbed, they were a taut liner, they were a box fan. There was so, but there was just hard work. I mean, you look at the Europeans, they made them look easy. Ours are hard work. The curtains were stiff. You folded them up and they'll never come back in shape. You had to drive and hope that they fell into place. So I stripped this tilt forward, pushed it forward with the woods. There they were, taking the load off. By this time, I'd learned a little bit of Italian, but I was never fluent. The manager comes, bring it out. Stop, stop, he's saying in Italian. Stop. A problem. So he said, multi problema, multi problema.
Oh,
You're
no.
delivering to the wrong place. So I'm like, no. Gets a CMR and a Sony. No, CMR here. Documente. So I give them the book. And the where I was delivering to was the invoice address. It should go to another delivery point, the other side of Turin. So I'm trying to plead with him, please don't put this load back on, as the crane started reloading me. So I had to put a load back on, chain it down again, build the tilt up, and make my way down to this next drop, which I couldn't tip till the next day. I tell you, not a happy bunny, but
No.
these things happen.
Yes. This episode of Matt's Truck and Grate podcast is proudly sponsored by Creasy Drainage. If you're dealing with blocked drains, flooding, or drainage problems, Creasy Drainage is a team to call. They provide professional drainage services for homes and businesses, including drain unblocking, repairs, septic tank emptying, and CCTV drainage surveys. They're known for fast response times, honest advice, and getting the job done right the first time. For reliable drainage services you can trust, check out Creasy Drainage. The details will be in the show notes. So was it Italy sort of your chosen, your favourite or preferable one, if you could do
It, there was a divide between drivers back then.
Yeah, I
Not so
know.
much owner drivers, but you either loved Italy or you loved Spain. There was
Yes.
very few that loved them both.
Absolutely. And I've discussed that before with a lot of people, and me personally, I'm for Spain and Portugal over Italy.
Well, I made quite a few good friends en route, and one particular chap, rest his soul, he's passed away now, passed away a couple of years ago, a chap called L. Jeffers. Honestly, you talk anybody about him, they'll tell you he was loud. He was honestly really deep voice, and he was a big chap. He made me look small. And Earl used to do Spain, but we used to meet up on the boat, have a chat away, down to Macon. He'd go his way, I'd go mine. But Earl was forever telling me, "You're making money in Spain, lad. You're costing too much money going over that Blanc and the Frasers. You're losing all your money in pay charges." So I had a word with LKW Walters. They said, "Well, you're with us on Italy." I said, "Do you not do Spain?" "Yeah, but we'll have to hand you to another team." "Okay, I'll do Spain." The rates was probably about £300 or £400 less. So I'm asking them why when I'm doing the mileage. They said, "Because you've not got the tolls." So I never fell in love with Spain.
Yeah, fair
And
enough.
there I am, down in Spain, tipping Spain, thinking to myself, well, they sound very good, they're similar to the Italians.
Yeah.
So I'm down at this delivery point, and this chap's come up to me. So I'm speaking to him in my best Italian. He's looking at me like, well, where are you from? I said, England. Why are you speaking Spanish? This is Spain. Why are you speaking Spanish? I said, I thought you'd understand me. No, speak English, I understand you. I mean, the Italian was never the best anyway. He must have thought, what is this nut doing? Anyway, there you go. Yeah, in an English truck with the ERF,
Yeah.
and he was speaking Italian to a
Yeah.
Spaniard. Anyway, you live and learn.
You do, yeah.
I managed to get tipped. I got a return though on. I came back out. The rate wasn't brilliant. The work was a lot easier. Spain's lovely. I do like Spain. I
Yeah.
love going to Spain. But
Yeah.
given the choice, Italy's my love.
Fair
And
enough.
that's where I was. Yeah.
Yeah,
And
fair
then
enough.
a friend of mine who used to run his own house, Gary Holmes, G and H Holmes, he does. G and TL Holmes, Gary and Tracy Holmes. And he used to run an immaculate fleet of Scanias.
Yeah.
And he started pulling for Dornach International. And
Yes.
he said to me, would you be interested in doing some Greek work? I'm like, oh, yeah, go on, I'll give this a go. So off I went, loaded with JCBs, me and my friend Mark Charnock. He was an owner driver as well by that time. We both worked at Kinch's together, another Leicester lad. He got his, what did he have then? I can't remember if he had his, I think he had an Iveco, John Russell Iveco, because they were selling them off. And I'd got the ERF. I'd been into Cummins at Wellingborough. They tweaked the engine, so it had gone from a 290 to a 305. Wow. And off we set down to, we decided, I had the choice of going overland, and I wish I'd done it now, but I didn't. So we went down to Brindisi, caught the boat from Brindisi over into Greece. Over then the, what's his name canal? I forget what it's called.
Corinth.
That's right, Corinthus Canal it was then. That's right, yeah. Over the, which was beautiful to go over. Gets down to, I've got my lad with me now, my son, my young, who's my eldest son. Well, he's only a young lad then. We're driving down, of course, someone had said to us, just be careful when you're driving in Greece. They've got that much marble in the country. They like to put it in the roads.
It gets really slippery when it's wet.
It just, when you put your foot on the brakes and this thing's still going forward, I tell you, it's an arse tweaker. It's an arse tweaker for the better.
Yes.
I tell you, yeah. So he gets down to clear customs. That's spent 2 days in the customs compound. Eventually gets cleared into the other side of Athens. Tip these JCBs. We decide then to come back. I've been chucked with LKW Walters to get the reload. Ah, Leicester, you're loading back from Greece. No. I've arranged with you. I'm loading back from Italy. No, he says. Gary's already been in touch with us and said that you wasn't loading back. Can I give him your load?
cheers.
16 days, 16 day trip. He was
Flipping
fuming.
egg.
Mark ran out of money. I had to lend him some money. He was low on diesel. He was running money from the customer that, which was making it worse because he hadn't got he hadn't he'd never really done any work for LKW Walters, so he was trying to draw running money before they'd even done a job. And I reloaded back from I could tell you, I could take you to it, but I can't remember. It's something Alunni or something like that. Is it southern Italy anyway? And Mark didn't get a load back right up until the top side of it, near Novara. So yeah, it was a long trip, but again, an experience. Needless to say, when I seen Gary, we didn't speak the best of terms, but
Yeah,
could
I can
talk
imagine.
out with someone else.
I mean,
It,
Greece is probably my favourite country in Europe to go to. I absolutely love Greece.
right.
I do a trip every year in a van
Wow.
down a Rafina port just north of Athens, and I just
Right.
look forward to it every time. I mean, I have been the overland route, but it is so much easier, obviously, just going through Italy.
Yeah.
And I go down to Brindisi, get the overnight, but or the day boat from there to Igoumenitsa, and then drop down. And it's just, I just love it.
It was a tripping off. The problem being as an only driver, certainly me.
Yeah.
And I love that ERF. Don't get me wrong. When I'm a big diehard ERF fan.
Yeah.
And when, but as soon as that wagon came off English soil onto France, oh, my arse twitched. Please. And, you know, credit where credit's due, with the exception of one time, I was going to Pordenone, which was across towards the east.
Yeah.
As you come down through the Frasers or Blanc and just go through Milan, through Bergamo, through Verona, just keep going east, and eventually you come to a place called Pordenone.
Yeah.
And that was my reload point and delivery point. And I picked up the phone, and I was on my way back, and I'm just looking at my dashboard, and I could see the battery light glimmering red.
Right.
I'm thinking, I know, alternator, don't
Yeah.
believe it.
Yeah.
And it's getting brighter and brighter. I'm thinking. So I've stopped. Of course, there was no mobile phones.
Yes.
Well, there was, but it was just a UK mobile phone,
Right.
only good for
Yeah.
a Cellnet, if you can remember a company called Cellnet.
Yeah, BT bought Cellnet out.
That's right. That's
Yeah.
right. 0860530540. That is that. That was my phone. So I'd pulled over, gone to the phone box, put my jetonies in,
Yeah.
and phoned LKW Walters. I have
Yeah.
a problem. What's the problem? I said, my alternators. Oh, where are you going? That's what I told him. Right, you must go and find this, write this down. So a bloke called Rocky, Rochii. He's in Verona. Okay. Off I goes, finds this place, pulled up. She went, stopped outside, walked in, really scruffy looking back street garage. Best Italian. Excuse me, I look for Rocky. See, Rocky. So parli inglese? No, parli italiano. So the problem also, yes. Alternatore kaput. Oh, that's impossible. Nuovo? No. No nuovo. 100% meccanico, he's telling me. 100% mechanic, this bloke's telling me. Camion? I said, yeah, that one there. If? I said, ERF. Che cosa? If? I said, it's English camion, engine, Cummins. Oh, Cummins, yeah, 100%, no problem. Off he goes, cab up, strips this alternator off, gets another alternator from God knows where, and makes, I mean, this is mechanic, this is none of your fitters of today.
Yeah.
Breaks these two alternators down, makes a new alternator, puts it back on. I said, good. Oh, gento percento. I thought he loses 10%. But that was the only bit that I understood that he said. Nope. Charged me, which was a reasonable price, I've got to say. And that
Yeah.
alternator never missed a beat.
Fantastic. Absolutely
It really,
brilliant.
yeah,
Yeah.
got me out of trouble.
Yeah.
Proper. And that was the only time that ERF really let me down.
Excellent. So how long did you have the ERF in total then?
So I started in the beginning of 89 and finished in 94.
Yeah.
That was more so to do personal reasons. Erin
Yeah.
Dawes decided that she wanted the money, she wanted the life, but she didn't want to be my wife.
Yeah.
So yeah, she met someone else, and
Yeah.
on a trip back, I came back, and it was all over. I
Yeah.
tried to save my marriage by said I'd quit the business.
Yeah.
I gave my truck up to my mechanic, Paul Anderson, who's still going to this day. Good bloke, very nice bloke. I
Yeah.
gave him the truck and trailer and to try and clear my debts. So I never went bankrupt, to just ceased trading.
Yeah.
Suffice to say, the marriage didn't work.
Yeah.
Now, there is one thing I've got to add to this, and if I'm
Yeah.
waffling, stop me.
No, you're fine.
On one of the trips out, I delivered to somewhere, I think it was over near the other side of Verona,
Yeah.
and the reload was Verona.
Yeah.
And it was for a company then called Knights of Old.
Yes, long gone now, sadly.
That's right. That's
Yeah.
right. Well,
Over 100, they were well over 100 years old when they
that's right.
went pop. But
Lovely
yeah,
firm.
real
Lovely
shame.
firm.
Yeah.
So what the it was a groupage company which the Knights of Old was in with.
Yeah.
And they when I picked up, I think it was Thursday, I was in the picking the groupage up, and they said, you must ring this number to make an arrangement for delivery on Monday morning. I rang the number, and their transport manager then was a young lad called Paul Abbott. And I said, hello, yeah, my name's Lester. Yeah. I've got this load I want to deliver Saturday morning. You want to deliver it when? I said, Saturday morning. He says, you're not be clearing, you won't be out of Verona till Thursday night at best. I
Yeah.
said, yeah, but I'll be with you Saturday morning. He said, listen, We'll come in Sunday. I said, no, I need to be empty Saturday. I said, Saturday morning to have Sunday off to reload Monday to ship back out again.
Yeah.
I don't believe you. I said, well, I'm telling you. I'll tell you what I'll do. He said, I'll give you, take that number, give you this number. Have you got a phone? So they've got an English phone. Ring me off that number when you're in England. If
Yeah.
you're back in England Saturday morning, I'll purposely come in and tip you myself.
Yeah.
I loaded, ran back, up and over, as you did,
Yeah.
into JR, bit of nose bag, up and over, met up with a couple of mates, chatting on the CB. It's amazing the amount of friends that you'll know yourself. I say friends, work colleagues, just people you meet en route.
Yeah.
And of course, the CB back then was, it was,
I was everywhere, wasn't it? And it was brilliant.
you could just talk to anybody. It's not the same as it is now. Yeah, you see a
No.
Brit going down the road now, they're looking gone out. Whereas over there, lights flashed, arms out the window.
Absolutely.
Where are you going? So off we went, met up with a couple of chaps, probably had 2 or 3 hours off, up over the boat, Saturday morning, I'm in England. I rang Paul Abbott. Hello, that's Leicester, mate. Where are you? So just north of Dover, mate. Just come up Jubilee Way. You're kidding me. I said, no, what time are you going to be with me? I'll be with you by about 10 o'clock, mate. Suffice to say, I went in, delivered. When the shit hit the fan, Paul said to me, come and drive for me. I said, I'm trying to save your marriage. He said, but come and drive for me. Have you still got your lorry? I said, no, I'll let it go. I said, I've lost something no more. So I've gone. Yeah, well, come. So I did. I went to work for Knightsholl as a driver,
Right,
but
okay.
didn't go over the water. I was
Just
on
UK.
UK.
Right.
I was trying to save my marriage.
Yes.
Suffice to say, they'd employed somebody else at the same time as they employed me, but he wasn't working out too well.
Yeah.
But they couldn't get rid of him unless they got rid of me because we both started at the same time. But they didn't tell me this.
Right.
So as I finished in the October, come Christmas time,
Yeah.
one of the gaffers there, Mr. John Kemp, I think his name was, he came up to me and said, Lester, I'm going to have to let you go. Oh, you're joking. He says, I'm sorry, mate. He said, work's gone quiet. He said, yeah, just go. He says, and give us a ring in February. See if I said, I can't do that. I've got,
Yeah.
bills to pay.
Yeah.
So I left and went to work for a company who I worked for many years called P&M Rook, a local firm in Ellistown, Leicester.
Yeah.
Meantime, phone call from Knights of Old in January. When are you coming back? I said, I didn't know I was coming back. We just needed to get rid of a driver, but we couldn't get rid of him without getting rid of you. We couldn't tell you in case you told him. Yeah, well, sorry. Unfortunately, I didn't work that way. And I stayed with P&M Rook for many years,
Right.
again, doing UK and European work.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was good. Started on tipping,
Yeah.
and then Paul got in with a company called BJ Waters, who is still
Yes,
going to this day.
they are, yeah.
Yeah, done a bit of bulk tipping work abroad for them.
Yep.
And then he then decided to, another firm that's still going today, was literally just down the road, was MTS,
Right.
which was Mark Milner, Transport Services.
Yeah.
I'd sub for him as an owner driver.
Yeah.
My spanner man was his spanner man.
Right.
That's how it's a small world. And
Yes.
Paul was in with MTS and they used to do similar work. And that's when we used to do a bit of European reels of paper out,
Yeah.
reels of paper from Zaragoza back.
Yes.
And then he got in with an axle company, Ruby Owen Rockwell, Schlage,
Yeah.
near Wrexham.
Yeah.
So we was taking all these axles out to various different destinations, France, Spain, Germany, and reloading back either reels of paper or I can't think what else. It's mostly reels of paper, to be fair. And and that's what it did for many years.
Yeah, fair enough. And then, was there any Italy with that as well, or not really?
Well, there was. Now, the thing was, with this firm, Ruby Owen and Rockwell, they'd started delivering, obviously, because the Rockwell back axle was a good axle.
Yeah.
And it started going into Italy.
Yeah.
And Paul had said to me, would you be interested in going out to Italy? I said, you know what, Paul?
Yeah.
And why wouldn't I? Because he knew that's what I did. Because he always frowned that I always used to have an ERF. I could never understand, because his yard was my operating centre.
Right.
Well, eventually, I'd moved to Paul Rook's yard, and that was my operating centre with my ERF. So I'd come back after a trip, park the ERF up, Paul would be walking around the yard with his brother Mick. And I can't believe you go over the water. water in that bloody thing. I said, well, what's all? Bloody EIF, a bit of water. If you break down, it's going to cost you a fortune. I said, Paul, you're right. But if anything breaks down on it, it's got to be EIF, i.e. the cab. I said, because the engine, Cummins are all over the world.
Yes,
I true. Said, and trust me, it would be a damn sight cheaper replacing bits for that Cummins engine than it would do any money or Volvos.
Yeah,
don't believe you. Don't believe you. Anyway, here I am now working for Paul. Paul then goes out and says, I'm buying your new truck. I'm buying seven of them. What you have? ERFs. I said, I can't believe that. well, he said, I've got a good deal. So there I am with a brand spanking new EC10.
Yeah.
What was it? 350? I think there were 350 Cummins.
Yeah.
But they hadn't. It was like a synchromesh box. It was, I don't know, it was similar to a ZF 16 speed, but I don't know if it was a ZF. It was a synchromesh box. It wasn't the twin split, which I was hoping he was going to get.
Yeah.
Roger says, Paul then says, I'm going to send you to Liber. So I did a couple of trips on my own in my own ERF, down to Verona.
Yeah.
Cleared Verona, reloaded the Vara, and back again.
Yeah.
This one time, he decides he sends me and a mate of mine in his Iveco Eurotech.
Yeah.
Because Paul's logic is Iveco, Italy, can't go wrong.
Yeah.
And it was urgent. Slowly got to go. So me and Martin, off we go. We double man it, gets down there. We get down to Navarra, clears us, and the truck broke down. So Martin said, what do we do now? Well, funnily enough, from my ex-owner driver days, we used to clear in Navarra a company called Drutto Walters.
Yeah.
So we ran to Drutto Walters in my best Italian again, upstairs, and the women did speak English, but you've got to introduce yourself in Italian.
Yeah.
I said, I have a problem. Okay. Can you possibly help? No problem. Told me about where to go. Mechanic in Navarra, who then sourced all the bits and bobs, got the truck up and running, came back.
Yeah.
And so it just goes to show, you know, never slam doors behind you and always be
definitely
polite,
because yes,
you never know when you might need that favour.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that, yeah, we got back off that. So I did a couple of Italy's, three probably Italy's for P&M Rook, and then they trouble it financially, and
yeah,
they were going down, and they Paul had sold his soul to another company.
Yeah,
I don't know why he did it. I suppose it was finance reasons. You don't know a company's finances.
No, that's
obviously
it.
You don't know. And I suppose he was trying to keep the company afloat, but they only wanted him for not in necessarily all his work, but he got a couple of good jobs, and they wanted the jobs. They didn't want him. They didn't want his trucks.
Yeah,
and suffice to say, that went by the wayside.
Yeah,
and I thought, I don't want to be a part of this. So I jumped ship,
yeah,
and went to work for Eddie Stobart.
Right, okay. So is that what, doing European or just back on UK work?
No. I didn't know this at the time. Again, me and Mark Charnock, who remained mates, and we both went for the interview down at Junction 18, because we were both on for Rookie.
Yeah.
Mark was on for Rooks and I was on for Rooks. And we went for the interview at Junction 18. But it was an open day. It was a Stobart open day. So we were just looking around, seeing what there is, and all these rumours about Stobarts and crap and all this. But it didn't seem a bad outfit. The worst thing I thought at the time was having to wear a tie.
Yeah.
They offered me a job, offered Mark a job. I said yes. Mark went to work for a company called City Transport.
Yeah, from Milton Keynes.
That's right. That's
yes.
Right. I can't believe you're not coming. No, I'll be working for these. It's driving a bloody Renault. Crikey. You could pay me with stolen money to drive it. Didn't really matter. Off Mark went.
Yeah.
I went on for Stobart, stayed there for 18 and a half years.
Well, that says a lot about the company, doesn't it?
It says a lot about I'm a very loyal company guy. If the job works for me, I ain't.
Yeah.
Mark lasted 4 months, City Transported. They went shit, bust up.
Yeah, they
Mark
went bust.
Then joined me.
Yeah.
He joined me on Stobart.
Yeah.
Along at the same time, another good friend of mine, Geordie Jeff, he came to join.
Yeah.
Mark and Geordie Jeff then went on to the international side.
Right.
I met my second wife now, Marcy, and the agreement was that I would do Monday to Friday, away on week, no weekend.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, I've got to respect that.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. I did offer them that I'd do European, but Stobart's agreements were to get the right calibre of driver,
mm-hmm.
you've got to be prepared to be away from home for 4 to 3 weeks.
Right. Yeah.
Well,
that's no
I mean,
good.
it very rarely happened.
Yeah.
But that's what they wanted. They didn't want
Yeah.
drivers belly aching after a week. Oh, I've had one weekend away. I want to come back.
Yes.
So that was the policy. So I never took it.
Fair enough. So,
So stayed with them for 18 and a half years.
yeah.
Right towards the end of that, the last 3 years, William Stobart, because Roger, sorry, Edward had died. And before he died, he'd sold the business to his brother, William, and
Yeah.
his brother's brother-in-law.
Yes.
And they decided to put it on the market, which is something Edward wanted to keep it funny. He didn't want it to. It was a limited company, but they went PLC.
Yeah.
And William started to lose control of things a little bit, I think, and set up WS.
Yeah.
And it's on WS, they've got a tanker division, which was also running on the Eddie Stobart side.
Right,
But for
okay.
reasons of his own, William decided to knock the tanker division on the head.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, I quite like this. I don't want to go back to General Lodge with the curtain cider.
Yeah.
So I jumped ship from Eddie Stobart to WS.
Right.
And on Valentine's Day of this year, I will have been here 6 years.
Wow. On just on bulk tankers.
On tankers.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, there I am, give me CV in as you do. Told him my terms and conditions when I started.
Yeah.
Politely, a lovely bloke, the manager is, the
Yeah.
bloke that owns it, owns the company. I mean, William's part owner, Mark Bingham's the main man, Mark Bingham, William Stobart, and there's another chap as well.
Yeah.
But those three run WS Tanker Division. Tanker Logistics is its call
Yeah.
now. And I'd said when I started, look, these are the things. No weekends, no bank holidays,
Yeah.
if we can work with that. Yeah, no worries. You will never be planned to work about weekend. Lovely. So here I am driving around. Leicester, we've got a trip coming up to Germany. Interesting. I don't know, after 18 and a half years.
Why
Yeah. Go on, I'll give it a
not?
go. Yeah, why not? And
Yeah.
it's been on and off over the last, I'm literally 2 weeks ago, just come back from Switzerland.
Yeah.
And that was my first Swiss since I used to transit it years ago.
Yeah. I'll bet
So, yeah.
in that 18 years, when you first went back out for William, that must have seemed so different to how it used to.
Matt, let me tell you, it is a pleasure driving in a 500 brake horsepower automatic Scania. Don't get me wrong, I love me. I'm on truck drivers reminiscing, old school truck drivers
Oh yes,
reminiscing.
yeah, we all love it.
Yeah, I said sight, but when I hear driving, that's what you call a proper truck. But I do when I put pictures of me here, if that's what you call a proper truck.
Yeah.
Better than the crap today. I wouldn't swap it for, tell you.
Yeah, anybody who says I'll take that ERF over my brand new Scania in a heartbeat,
Never.
no, you wouldn't. You would take you'd get
Not
to you
chance.
you'd get to the end of the road and you'd turn around and say, I've changed
I'm
my
telling you.
mind.
When I was young. I was a
Yeah.
young lad then. I was in my late 20s, early 30s, jumping off loads, which I look at now with wanton eyes. I couldn't
Yes.
even climb up them now and jump off them.
Yeah.
I can remember loading reels of paper in Purfleet.
Yeah.
And I was with a lot of BFI drivers, called BFI, that used to come
Yes.
from
Man, no, not Manchester. I can't think where they were from. I know who you
Castle
mean, though.
Donington.
Yeah.
Castle Donington's where the depot was.
Yeah.
And the BFI, and there was a big dad there called, and I jumped off the top of these wheels. Oh, lad, he says, you'll regret doing that. I says, no, you want to see me jump back up? But he's right, because my knees are knackered
Yes.
now. But
That's
these are all the silly things you did back then.
it. And
You know?
again, the truck, the ERF, that was of a time. They were just a common truck, weren't they?
Every man and his dog had them.
Yeah,
No,
exactly.
there was such a, I mean, your mainstay trucks. I mean, people call them, and they're right to, but you're comparing them to the likes of Volvos and Scania. When you're looking at a working class working truck, your ERFs, your Fodens, your Leylands, they were all gaffers trucks. They were
Yes.
working class, and they've made many a company.
Yeah.
You look at the companies around you now, a lot of them started with ERFs, Fodens. Because
Yeah.
that was the mainstay.
Yeah.
Volvos and Scanias, they were just too expensive.
Yes. Yeah.
But people, I think, I can remember Taylor Barnard, I think they had the first Mercs when they first used to come in.
Right.
John Dee, I think he used to run Magotty Stoys.
Yeah.
All these firms that had a few foreign trucks,
Yeah.
but most of them, that's how they started on the British made trucks.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not saying I'm an advocate. I will say ERFs are, I love ERFs.
Yeah.
My favourite drill car, a Volvo. Man.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, William Stovall,
It's a
he's a big
Scania.
Scania man. I think there's a couple of Mercedes floating around, but that's purely and simply because that's a customer's request.
Fair enough.
But I've not drove a Volvo for, oh crikey, 66 plate. I had a Scania at the Volvo. I had a Volvo before
Yeah.
that, but that was a 16 plate. But
Yeah. But then the next gen Scania, they are a really nice truck, especially if they're spec'd well. They are a really nice truck to drive.
but
And I'm a
the
Volvo man as well,
right.
over Scania, I have to
Well,
say.
in that case, then have a quiet word with Glenn Eskey and educate him because he loves it.
Oh, well, I'll try.
Yeah, you try, but yeah. So this next gen Scania that I've got, this is my second next gen Scania.
Yeah.
This one I've just got now. So here I am driving along, and Snooksy, the one I told you about, phones me up. And says, "Lester, where are you now?" So just come southbound on the M1. I've talked Snooksy into putting a CB in, so we are the only two tanker drivers with CBs in.
Right.
So he says to me, "When you stop next, just shout out, 'Hey Scania, turn the radio off.'" I'm thinking, what's he on about? So sure enough, I did. And it works. That's his next generation. It's the latest ones.
Yeah.
That's technology. Yeah. But the
Flipping
trouble
egg.
is, if it goes wrong,
Yeah.
it's all on that one screen.
Yeah.
All the PTOs on that screen, everything. If that screen goes down, you're going, "No, you've got to get the
Yeah.
heater, you got nothing."
Oh, flipping egg,
And
yeah.
that's the frightening side of
Yes.
how this industry's progressed and how trucks have progressed with it.
Yes. Yeah. It always worries me. I think there's just so much and too much technology in them, really.
Yes, for
Again,
trucks.
yeah, especially like PTO, you just need a switch. That's all you need. It doesn't need to be on a touch screen, does it? That's
No,
just that's
not at all.
unnecessary, in my opinion. But
And you know yourself. I mean, I'm not trying to categorize truck drivers as being stupid, daft, or anything like that. But the mainstay of truck drivers, they just want a truck to drive to get from point A to B. Everything else they can do themselves. They don't need technology telling
yes.
you how to get there, how to drive, your driving standards, your braking too hard. It's honestly,
Yeah.
and that's it's amazing how that's changed.
Yeah, it r
Just
really is.
to say, when I started with Stobart's have got this policy: whatever you touch, you've got to be taught.
Right.
And I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't get it at all.
Yeah.
Because it's going back to the old firms I've worked for. There's your keys. There's your truck. Off your crack.
Yeah.
Don't want to hear from you either till you're empty or unless you break down.
Yeah. Just go and get on with it.
And you're going out in 12-speed Foden, 12-speed Foden boxes,
Yeah.
Dave Brown's 6-speed box,
Yeah.
9-speed Fuller's, ten
Yeah.
speed Spicer's, all this stuff. Whereas the minute you get an automatic, have you been taught how to drive that? Excuse
Yeah.
me, have you been shown how to drive that automatic?
Yeah.
Is this
Yeah.
is this something? Is there a fourth pedal you've not told me about? When is this going to happen? It's
Yeah,
amazing.
it is. Yeah.
We are dinosaurs. But they're trying
Yeah.
to educate us to become something. We know the industry. A, we don't know it all. Every day's a school day.
Absolutely, yeah.
But we're from the breed that will look, learn, and you know what? We'll survive
Yeah.
because we can.
Yes. Yeah.
Headlight bulb's gone. Not so much in this new one. It's LED, but headlights will go. I've changed the bulb.
Yeah.
I've seen drivers in our depot sat there from 4 o'clock till 6 o'clock to wait for the mechanic to come in.
Yeah.
Because they're not prepared to change a headlight bulb.
Yeah. I
And
know
that.
of several firms that will not allow a driver to change a headlight bulb. It mystifies me. It's just like, what?
What's happened to the industry, man? What's happening?
Yeah, they'd rather pay Volvo £300 to come out and put a bulb in. It just.
And you're right. I was talking to our transport manager, and he said that is the minimum call out fee.
Yeah, it's nuts, isn't it?
That's before they even do anything. That's
Yeah.
just the call out fee.
Yeah,
It's ridiculous.
it's mind-boggling. It really, really is. So, well, I think we better wrap this up, Lester, because we've been, well, it's been a blooming good chat. Just over an hour. It's just flown past, hasn't
It
it?
has. It's been a pleasure, Matt. It really has. Thank you very much.
I've really enjoyed it, mate. So,
Thank you.
hopefully everyone else will enjoy it too. So,
Okay, my friend.
lovely
Nice
job.
chatting to you.
Yeah, you drive safe, mate, and I'll speak soon.
Thank you.
Lovely.
Bye-bye.
Cheers.